flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
That is one of the special guests that's going to be on at the Super Bowl with Kendrick Lamar. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, breaking news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You want me to believe that you won't have any excitement once this thing rolls around to training camp? We are a long ways away. As a matter of fact, I'm getting excited thinking about the draft, Mike. Thinking about the combine and all this stuff that we've got just about a month away from now. And you want me to believe that you aren't going to be excited when camp rolls around and you're just going to be going through the motions.
Liar!
I'm full Belichick mode. We'll be up there doing the show. You know, maybe at Hooters we do the residency. You'll be asking me, what about defense? And yeah, look good. See about week one.
Trey's got 3 sacks a day in practice.
Yeah, can't take the quarterback to the ground, Carl. So,
Drake went over the top of 2 DBs and came down with it with one hand.
Yeah, who drafted those DBs? I'm going to keep it. I'm going to use the George Costanza reverse. Again, this is the reverse, guys, okay, strategy. Because all the positivity I've told you. Now, granted, I did think Mariota was going to suck, and he did. But as far as I feel so dirty, that I told listeners that we thought Ritter could be the guy. You know? And then, of course, we all thought Cousins. We knew that. We did give it to you right. We thought Cousins would have some growing pains with the Achilles.
Nobody could predict.
But no one could ever foresee what the hell happened in October and in November when the wheels friggin' fell off. October was good. November was the worst.
What do you think happened?
I think it's...
Honestly.
I think there's a physical thing. I think it was in the arm, and you can't not be forthcoming with the injury report because you get the team in trouble with the NFL.
Yeah.
Can't fudge it, right? We know that. But I think there was something wrong with his shoulder. Started in the Saints game, and then I don't think he wanted to cop to it.
Yep.
Knowing that what was over his shoulder in panics, he was like, fair or unfair, whether, and again, a lot of guys at the time said, we don't know Kirk Cousins anything. I don't care if he's upset that on draft night he gets blindsided by the Penix decision. But he and his camp, as Joel Corey, the agent, told us last week, he was never, you know, he thought, look, Minnesota, he knew there was going to be an heir apparent. He wanted to come to a situation where he's the man.
That's right.
So I think that added to the stress of it. And look, you would argue that a veteran of his caliber should be able to handle it and compartmentalize it, but he couldn't. So everything he told us, and like, we love the guy. And if Kirk's listening, we'd love to get you on the show. And you want to talk about it? You know, it'd be cathartic, but I'd love to know what the hell happened here.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
Like he said, he didn't forget how to play football. But secondly, when he did speak to the media, and it was the week after Penix took over, right? Or the next week, because he spoke to the media and he said, and I'm having Big O look for it, but he said that he was healthy. It was the first time it had come out of his mouth.
Right. It wasn't an injury. But in that, you can never go back if you want to. I keep all the Falcon games on DVR. Eventually, I erased them. But if you go back and look at that Raiders game, that's what everybody in the country. That's when it was Monday Night Football, right? Aikman's like, I don't know what's going on here. He goes, you know, he's doing, and Ritter looked as bad as Ritter. You know, and so it was obvious to everyone. It was certainly obvious to guys on that team. So it was, you know, his hand was forced, unfortunately. And we get a late start with Michael Penix Jr. He does whet our appetite that, yes, we'll be excited about him.
You're going to be excited about Penix, aren't you?
Hey, by the way, I'm looking right now as we're talking. I'm looking at the practice for the Senior Bowl.
Penix is exciting,
yeah,
you, right?
I just saw a big lineman from North Dakota State. Let's go get him.
Okay, stop. Come on, stop it.
Who needs SEC? Who needs ACC? You can go to North Dakota.
Come on, stop
go
it.
Go to the Black Hills.
I agree with you.
Or is that South Dakota? Either way, either whatever, way. Whichever either freaking way. Dakota we get our guys from.
Either way, I do agree with your assessment, and I'm going to tell you why. But I want you to hear this. This is right at the end of the season. Obviously, once Michael Penix took over. And guys, it's one of these fascinating things as we talk about the offseason, and we're going to let you hear more of Jeff Ulbrich, and we're going to let you hear what Mark Raimondi had to say to us about Jeff Ulbrich, our new defensive coordinator, and what he said yesterday in his presser coming up here in less than 10 minutes. But this is like one of the things that around the league, whether we move him or we don't or whatever, this question is lingering. It's not going away. But when he was asked, this is the first time, because Ra told us he was healthy. The offensive coordinator said he's healthy. Everybody around, the general manager, ultimately, once he talked to us, not to us, but to the media, said, because he doesn't do the show, he said he was healthy.
Where is
Terry?
Yeah, he said he was healthy. This finally is what Kirk Cousins said.
No, I think, you know, going back to the turnovers, I think, you know, that's more probably decision-making than anything. And, you know, that wouldn't have anything to do with any physical limitations. So I wouldn't say so.
Mike, he played scared.
It just didn't look comfortable. You said it.
That's why I am convinced that what you're saying about something going on, I'm not going to own it. Mm-hmm. We're just going to try to play through, and it derailed him. And when you play, and I say scared, but you guys know this. I talked about it during the season. The timidness to throw the ball when he needed to. He was late.
Right.
He wasn't on time.
Nothing was on schedule.
Yes.
Nothing's coming out. What you always say, pull. Sometimes that
pull.
happened a little bit with Jalen Hurts in this last NFC Championship game.
He saw it. Saw it, and he was like, oh, no, I want to go there, but I'm not going to go there. Right. You got to let that thing go. And so that is why I was like, something is not right here. When a quarterback is healthy, sorry, Kurt, they aren't hesitant to let that thing go. This isn't a rookie. We were talking about a guy who's been in the league 13 years. Mike, he knows what this looks like.
Right.
So that's why I agree with you. I don't know if we'll ever know, but that's where I'm at, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I will say this. I will never, ever, ever predict a 10-win season for this Falcons
team
until they've won 10 games.
Come on.
And then I can say, well, they won 10 last year. Okay, I'll give you 10. Because how many times?
Mike, they should have won 10 this year.
How many times have you and I, we always take it out. I know it's old, but we do it because you guys want it. It's easy conversations.
You want it. We give it to you.
We give it to you, which is... That's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. All right, I got 10 wins. You said 11.
They should have won. Now,
another misguided prediction.
They should have won 10.
From Nostradamus.
6-3, Mike.
Until I know this defense is fixed, I say 8.5 wins for this team.
You don't even know when and where we're playing yet.
I don't care.
You don't even know where we're playing.
We might play in Berlin this year. Berlin, Germany.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that could be fun. It'd be fun if we had a freaking defense.
It would be fun if we're winning.
You know?
How's that?
You know, I mean, the Germans invented the blitz. It'd be nice to bring one to Germany.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go. We played, and if you didn't hear, we're going to talk to Mark Raimondi, our conversation about Jeff Ulbrich. One thing that Ulbrich did say, and you and I talked about it in the Falcon Report last hour, is when he became head coach of the Jets, all of a sudden, raw data, information that was apparent to everybody. Then you become head coach, and now everybody goes, okay, coach, things are good over there. Linebackers are good today. Apparently, there becomes this filter where real information doesn't get filtered to the man up top, which is a disservice. And I think we've seen that in corporate culture. I mean, you've seen it in any documentary about something that goes south because nobody wants to tell the boss how bad things really are down in the plant.
Communication is key, man.
Right. But Ulbrich, if that's one element that he brings to this, because I think if there's one way I could diagnose this from not being – privy to everything, but from a fan, as a Falcon fan, sometimes I think they've tried to pretend everything's through rose-colored glasses.
Are you a fan if you're going to be negative like this?
It's going to be real. I'm going to keep, you know what it is? It's going to be...
Are you truly a fan if you're going to be negative like this?
It's going to be Mike the Real Deal Bill in honor of Holyfield.
Okay.
Keeping it real. Keeping it 100. Not playing around. No more hype man.
Okay.
No more hype man.
All right. All right.
I'm going to be real about this. If I see something, I'm going to go, yeah, I guess, Carl. Maybe it'll work out.
Wait a minute. For everything?
Everything.
Oh, come
except
on.
Except for PEDEX.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I do like Penix. The thing is, you're right. I'm saying this now. I'll get excited by Penix, you know.
Penix and, get you excited?
Right, I know.
Bijan get you excited?
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch Braylon Tryson and knee brace.
Drake get you excited?
Yeah.
Jesse Bates get you excited?
Love Jesse. He's the best guy we got.
Yeah, I know.
AJ's cool.
Would you put some pep in your voice?
I don't know, man.
You said this to me today, and I'm like, I don't believe this.
Dude, when you get your ding-dong run over by the Falcons machine,
I don't ever want my ding-dong run over.
It's just hard.
I don't want that.
Look at Orin. I'm just saying.
Well, he went there.
Well, I'm just saying. It's just how many times you get your ding-dong stepped on, and you're like,
ow. I don't want that to happen.
Because every preseason I whip it out, okay? There you go.
Wait a minute.
Speaking metaphorically.
Wait a minute. What? Whip it out.
And say that these things are going to happen.
We can stop saying that, guys, by the way.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm saying. I mean, how many times have we hit the dump button here? No, I'm just saying. Every preseason, we unzip.
Okay, wait. Stop. Wait a minute.
And we get excited.
We are in undumpable territory right now, guys.
No, I'm just saying. We get worked up to a state in the preseason.
You have to go there?
And then it spills out onto the airwaves.
I'm done with you.
What? That's clean. It's only dirty if you make it. It's like the reindeer joke. That's only dirty if you fill in the blanks.
They're going to fire me when we get to 7 o'clock tonight.
I am going to temper my enthusiasm this year. That was going to be the difference between every other preseason between you and me the last 11 years.
Okay.
Why don't we find out what Mark Raimondi has to say about all of this and head to break?
Okay,
all
right. Fine. I know he won't whip it out.
Well, perhaps he'll be giving us some joculation about this
season. Mark Raimondi's coming up next. for the first time to the media. And Mark Raimondi, who covers the Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com, was there. And Mark, you know, Mike and I, we kind of dissected some of the sound bites and things that he said yesterday. He also came on our radio station with Andy and Randy. And you can check out that interview at Odyssey.com. What was your take on the press conference and his tone, his demeanor, and what stood out to you?
I thought he did a good job. You know, I thought he showed some humility. You know, he kind of owned up to some previous mistakes, whether they be, you know, when he was here before or when he was with the Jets. So I thought he had an interesting line about how he didn't delegate when he became the interim head coach of the Jets, and he took on the role of, you know, the head coach and still retained the defensive coordinator responsibility. So I thought that, you know, he showed some humility. He didn't go into anything specific about, you know, what is this defense going to look like? He spoke kind of in platitudes about that stuff, you know, talked about, you know, looking, you know, having the defense be in multiple and kind of a lot of the same stuff that Jimmy Lake said last year about, you know, some 3-4, some 4-3. You know, Ulbrich's been kind of a 4-3 guy throughout his career. So we'll see how that kind of, like, you know, what this new version of him ends up being. But, you know, it's hard to gauge anything off the first press conference. He's obviously a guy that Raheem Morris trusts a lot. They go way back. You know, they've been friends for a long time. And he's also a guy that Robert Saleh, who's one of the best, you know, defensive minds in the NFL, trusted to be a defensive coordinator with the Jets. So, you know, we'll see where it goes.
We were just talking about the, you know, the collaboration. God, I hate that word when it's used in the Falcons. But anyway, how they come up with the talent this year. So Ra and Jeff Ulbrich, once he does the evaluations and the personnel department, Carl and I were just talking off the air. The perception for years has been that Arthur Smith wanted Kyle Pitts, and maybe it was a great way. The general manager perhaps thought that it was a great way to start the relationship, and since there was so many needs, well, give the coach what he wants, which was a disaster. So how does this work? I mean, if there's a pie chart, who's making these decisions? Is it always falls on Fontenot?
I do think it really is that C word, collaboration, Mike. I really do. I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, it really has to be a collaboration. It can't just be certainly the general manager, the front office, you know, they're going to have probably the final say, but it's going to have to, you know, if you're going to draft a defensive guy in the first round, number 15, which I think everyone believes that the Falcons will and should do. If they don't, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You have to consult the defensive coordinator, right? You have to. Yeah, because, how is this guy going to fit into the scheme, into the system that we're going to be running? What does he do well? You know, whether that's a pass rusher, which I think most people would imagine would be the first pick. It could be a corner. Who knows? But, you know, you have to kind of talk to the you know, the whole brain trust, so to speak, because, you know, the Falcons are also a team that, you know, they put a premium on human beings as well. You know, they want character guys coming in, so they have to have that intel as well, and they have to kind of run that by. So it really is, you know, the collaborative effort. I know that it gets said way too often in Flowery Branch, but in that respect, I think it has to be.
We're talking with Mark Raimondi here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game about our Falcons, and as we start, you know, talking about the offseason and what this is going to look like. Now, we did hire a new defensive line coach. I do not know if you've had a chance to visit with him yet or not. But, you know, part of me, part of what I've been saying, Mark, is we got to develop Trice and Rook and Dorless and the guys we've already drafted. That's going to fall also on the plate of Jeff Ulbrich and our new defensive line coach, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I was actually having this conversation with your pal, our pal, Mark Zinno, yesterday at Flowery Branch about how, you know, there's not going to be a ton of cap excess this offseason, right? That's fair to say. The players that are in the building, there's going to have to be a premium put on developing who's already there, right? And those are the guys, the Rook Aurora-Rose, the Braylon Trices, who's coming back off the ACL tear, the Brandon Dorlesses, who didn't get a whole lot of time this season, a J.D. Bertrand, you know, as far as an inside backer. But Kevin Ollie, you know, the new D-line coach, comes pretty highly regarded. That Houston Texans defense was quite good this year, and that defensive line was formidable. And you know, on paper, that's an intriguing name. That's an intriguing guy to bring in to see if he can kind of develop some of the young players on the Falcons defensive line the way that he did in Houston. So that seems like a pretty big positive.
Yeah, one thing for certain, you know, when you look at the Texans, they've got some special guys they were able to draft over the years, too, which certainly does help and get Danielle Hunter to come down in free agency and join Will Anderson. If we can get anything like that, giddy up. By the way, we've talked about, we just mentioned Joel Corey, the capologist from CBS, was on with us the other day. You find that we will be able to make minimal moves in free agency, or you still be able to pull one or two big fish in?
You know, it's going to take some jockeying, right? It's going to take some restructuring. It's going to take a few players to have their contracts the tweet. Yeah, that's a good word. You know, the salary cap is it can be nebulous at times, right? You know, there are ways around, you know, it's not always a hard and fast type of situation. So there will be opportunities for the Falcons to add and to get better, but I don't. I mean, last offseason, that, you know, when you bring in a Kirk Cousins, you get Darnell Mooney, you get, you know, Charlie Warner. I don't think it's going to be a free agency like last season. I think it's going to have. You're going to have to hope to have a really good draft, and you're going to have to hope to, again, the guys that are in the building, the young players, even like an Arnold Ebiketie who's going into year three, guys like that. You know, you have to get them better. You have to get them to. You got to coach them up. You got to develop them, and that's going to be a big key for the offseason as well.
So, on your front, any Cousins news? Anybody talk to this dude? Anybody seen him?
Right.
Have not. You know, have reached out to his agent several times since the end of the season because Kirk was not at the you know locker room cleanout day. He was not there. At least not for us to see. We didn't see him that day. The media. So. Don't know what's going on with him. You know, that March, that mid-March deadline is still there. You know, that's still about 6 weeks out, a little more than that, as to that $10 million roster bonus. And that's going to be, you know, I think we're probably going to find out stuff around that date as to what is going to happen, you know, as far as is going to be a release, are they going to try to trade him? But it sure sounds like, you know, judging by what Terry Fontenot said a few weeks ago, that the message to the rest of the league is, we're not going to just give this, you know, we're not going to just drop this guy and have you pick him up for scraps. You know, you're going to have to try to trade for him if you want Kirk Cousins. We're comfortable having him as the backup. I don't think they're comfortable having him as the backup, if I'm being frank.
No.
You know, they're not. But that's the message to the league, right? If you're reading between the lines, you know, that's the message to the league. Like, hey, look, we're gonna hang on to this guy to see if we can get some kind of compensation for him.
I mean, I know it's early days. Mark Romani from ESPN.com with us here. I guess you could argue if you find a trade partner to make sense to get maybe try to accumulate some more picks. Because, again, the more picks you accumulate, you do have to make the payroll work. But the idea that, you know, in years past, we had A.J. Terrell. We tried to trade down. We wound up finding a guy that's a really good piece here. We got Chris Lindstrom in the 14th pick. So we've had some quality there. But the idea that maybe that wouldn't be the worst idea, I guess, to maybe try to pick up some more draft equity and move down a little bit if possible?
I can certainly see that being a plan because they could use some more picks. They love. They traded the third rounder for Judon. They lost the fifth rounder for the tampering last year. So I could definitely see the front office trying to accumulate some draft picks at some point. There could be some trades. But yeah, I would say as of right now, I would be surprised if the Falcons did not have more picks than they currently do.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to maneuver that.
One more thing. We're just talking about Rossi. You mentioned restructuring some guys, and you know he's got a big contract. It was about $20 million hit next year. And every time I say this, Carl, I feel like Grady's going to come bust through the door like the Kool-Aid man and punch me in the head. You think that Grady's days could be numbered here, or you think that he's a guy they'd like to keep in the program?
I really don't feel that way. You know, I'd be surprised if I'm honest. I really think that he's just a guy that, you know, for so many reasons, even off the field, he's just a good guy to have. You know, he's a great guy in the community. He's a great guy in the locker room. He's really a leader on the team. There's no doubt. And he produced this year, not at the level maybe of previous years, but if you look at some of his like pass rush win rate numbers that ESPN puts together, you know, he was you know a top 15, top 20 guy on the interior line. Again, not maybe what you know you would want or what he was in his prime, but you know he's still a guy that can produce and. There's also you got to put the guys around him as well. You know that's part of it too. David Onyemata did not have a great year. A few good games, but did not have a great year overall. And you know he could do some help there. So I think he's a guy that you know they could potentially look to restructure. you know, that would not be a shock to me, but I would be pretty surprised if Grady Jarrett was not an Atlanta Falcon next year.
Yeah, I've been saying this as well. I think we don't have enough guys around him so he can be as successful as he'd like to be, or we think he should be. But we will see how they all figure it out, because that's another part of this. Hey, Mark, great job as always, man. We appreciate you. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man, we're just talking about you know, some of the money, if you're looking for some help. And could you get Grady to maybe take a bit of a pay cut? I don't know. But, you know, you and I have had this discussion over the years. I just felt he was such a rock star in a 4-3. And I know where Jeff Ulbrich kind of diffused the 3-4, 4-3. But I just think, man, something that Chuck Smith spoke about with us last week, you've just got to have a big dude, whatever your defensive scheme is, next to Grady.
Bigger guys. It allows guys to play differently if they're not asked to do all the things.
Right. And use that athleticism, which made him such a rock star and a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I think, and that's been part of the deal, is you're asking him to do a lot more than he probably should have to. Either way, I think you lay out everything, Mike, on the table. And, you know, for the Falcons, and you look at each and every individual player, you look at the contract, you look and see what happens. You know, but there are some guys, you know, you said it, nobody's untouchable. I love Grady Jarrett as a human being, as a ball player, and more as a human, because he's a really good dude.
Good dude, yeah.
But you have to look at all of that and say, keeper, maybe, that's right. The maybe pile. Nope, he's out. Maybe, keeper, and then you make the adjustments needed. Guys, the biggest thing is we got to recognize, specifically, Brick has to recognize, and he's going to do this, what we don't do well. And right. How we get to doing it well. You got to solve the problem.
A lot of turnover. The secondary, we mentioned, there's some restricted free agents, some you know, complete free agents. Hughes is going to be probably gone. Would they keep D. Alford? You know, I mean, we said it, man. That secondary, you never found a solid rock star piece opposite A.J. Terrell last year.
All right, we're coming back, guys. Hawks, Rockets tonight. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock. That's on the way. But when we come back, he turned the job down. Nobody wants this job.
Are you going to laugh funny again?
It is Dukes and Bell. So, as we've been talking about today, a couple of the jobs around the NFL. The Cowboys hire Matt Eberflus as their defensive coordinator. Not a surprise there. He was there when Jason Garrett was there. There's a familiarity with him. And listen, he was a good coordinator. He wasn't a great head coach. So, he gets hired. Mm-hmm. From Brian Schottenheimer, which obviously is Jerry Jones. But one of the things, Mike, we've been discussing is the Saints job. And ironically, today we find out that Cliff Kingsbury, who's one of the hottest coordinators right now, you know, he's been a head coach in the league already, but one of the hottest coordinators helping take the Commanders to the NFC Championship game, turns down the Saints job today and takes his name out. So, right. Mike, you start looking at this and you say, okay, from the candidates we know, there's already six jobs, right? There's one job open. It's the Saints. All the other jobs have been taken. I think the better candidates this particular cycle have been hired.
Right.
But then you say, all right, well, who is going to take the Saints job? Now, they did interview Kellen Moore, who's the Eagles' offensive coordinator. But that would not happen until after the Super Bowl. The league's not going to say, hey, he's been named, and
right.
to complete distraction from what they're trying to do. But who else is out there? And I'm not saying that, like, you know, in a vague way. I'm just saying, who would be willing to take this job? And you're going to say, well, there are a lot of people. Guys, there are a bunch of good candidates who are passing up this opportunity.
Right. I mean, you're going to wind up with, like, a ball boy from the Rams because he once, you know, spent 5 minutes in a room with Sean McVay. It's like, what are your qualifications? I got Sean McVay a latte once. You're hired. You know, because anybody, obviously, with that Rams pedigree, and they generally do really good things. And once Zach got his quarterback here and it was straightened out, I think we're not really complaining about Zach. Earlier in the year, we were confused by his tactics. And then later, Kirk Cousins showed you why he couldn't maybe do some of the things we were going to do. But getting back to your point about the Saints, yeah, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've got Jaden Daniels, and I'm going to, you know, ride with that because I'm in a great position. And maybe he looks around and he sees dysfunction here, dysfunction there. Certainly the Saints, I don't consider the Saints necessarily dysfunctional. It's just they're finally in that cap hell that we were in 2020 and 2021.
It's catching up.
And there's really nowhere to go unless and last year was the big jump in the cap. It's not going to take that kind of a leap this year. It'll be the standard, what, 8% you said it was?
Yes.
So if I'm Cliff, for instance, I sit around and do another great year with the Commanders, and I go, you know, take Mike McDaniel's job, and he gets fired down with the Dolphins or whoever, you know, because there'll be some other jobs always open. There's always six or seven opening up.
Yeah, I just feel like, and again, remember the Saints went 5-12 this year. Mike, they're old, and that's the other part about this is it's not only that you're looking for a head coach, you know, you've got to come in, figure out the car situation, and is that going to work or not, and then move or move on, stay the course and move on. But when you talk about defensively with the Cam Jordans of the world, DeMario Davis, some of these guys, man, they're long in the tooth. And that is the other part. You've got to make some real decisions about the players and the personnel you have and how you're going to move forward and upgrade.
He was always a guy that gave us hell, but, I mean, there's no way that Taysom Hill should account for $18 million against the cap. Taysom Hill is the 6.5% of their cap next year.
And he's coming off of an injury.
You mentioned Cameron Jordan, who's basically – remember you and I were laughing. Cam Jordan has a podcast where he goes, sacks are overrated.
Yeah,
like, whoa, what?
Him and Mike Smith have been talking.
But, yeah, they've just got a lot of older guys out there, and they're just jammed up against the cap. So that's good news for Falcon fans out there. Dead cap is first in the NFL, to your point, $48.4 million in dead cap.
Yeah, they got their own problems. It's just interesting, like, you think – this would be one of the most attractive jobs. Again, Mickey Loomis has been in place for a long time, the general manager. It's not like you're going to work for somebody that doesn't know what he's doing.
He's always found a way in the past to get out of it.
Yes, but it is interesting that you – because here's the thing. When guys around the league start to say, what do you think about the Saints job? And you hear these things about, okay, where are they at? What's going on? What's in place? This is why we always talked about some jobs being more attractive than others. You know, and number one, when your quarterback's in place, that's why Ben Johnson went to Chicago, Mike. You don't think the Saints wanted Ben Johnson? Of course they did.
Right.
They did. But he's like, there's not enough in place there for me to feel like I can go there and win and turn this thing around in a short period of time. Because as you said, that short period of time is no longer 5 years.
No, you got to.
It's no longer 5 years.
In some cases, you got 1 year, 2 years. You know, I know that, like, here in Atlanta, there's got to be a sense of urgency based on where things went last year. Let me walk that back. I don't know what Arthur Blank's mindset is. You know, I couldn't imagine the general manager would stick around if we don't make the playoffs next year. And that generally is a tandem. Coach and GM would go.
I don't know, Mike.
If the defense doesn't show improvement this year,
yes,
then people got to go.
Well, that to me, that what you just said, progress, improvement is different than I think he's on the hot seat. I do not think Rod's on the hot seat at all. Even if we don't make the play, will we be disappointed? Hell yeah, because we are frustrated. But I don't think that you could say after 2 years. Now, the Terry situation, and I said this to you, when you decide to keep the GM, there's a reset. This isn't Terry with Art. This is Terry with the new head coach and new staff. And whether that's fair or unfair, the reset is, here's this vision. That was that vision, and I know you've been here 4 years. I would be surprised if you said if anybody would be gone, that may be the issue. That would be the thing that I would look at. I don't know if Raw, even if we won, like if we won 9 games and didn't get the, God, I hope not.
Right.
Playoffs, then that is what I think probably would happen. I do not think the coach.
Right.
And I'll say this too. Let me, it all depends on how it plays out. Mike, if you lose 6 in a row at the end of the season, that's a different deal.
Look, Fontenot was hired for a number of reasons. One, he was inheriting a cap hell that Dimitroff left. We talked about the old kicking the can down the road. And the Saints have operated for basically 20 years in cap hell and always find a way.
They have.
And one of the things that he was really good at was always finding the right free agents at the right price to plug in. I mean, that was part of the selling point of why Fontenot got the gig. But, you know, and for instance, like guys always, I love when guys say, well, who would you hire? Well, yeah, I mean, guys, there's always candidates. You got to find the right one. For instance, the Jets may, just may, and Woody Johnson is even on record as saying, I've got to do a better job as an owner. The best thing you can do, Woody, is go get a house in Switzerland and not even talk about the team because anything you touch turns to crap. But you could argue, if you're the Jets, they just hired Darren Mooji. Who's he? We came from Denver. Denver had the biggest debt cap hit in NFL history to make the playoffs. That's drafting
with a rookie quarterback.
Bingo. So you go get a guy from a team that's doing it well. I mean, it's not that complicated. It's always like, well, where would you go? Good God. Some of these folks, Carl, it's like the wheel would never be invented. You know?
Well, good God.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I mean, we put blocks on our carts, and how can we ever find a better idea? It's like, you know, scared of their own friggin' shadow. But I do know this. You know, hopefully if Jeff,
what do you know?
If Jeff Ulbrich is not fibbing and he learned something from that Jets operation, the nonsense has got to stop. No funneling BS upwards. Give your head coach what the straight dope is. Hey coach, for instance, I'm Jeff Ulbrich. Yeah, coach, I did a spreadsheet on our defense. We don't have any talent. We've got
Come on.
Jesse Bates. We got AJ Terrell. Ebba Cady's okay. Grady shows a lot of heart. Caden Ellis is okay. That's it. We got, okay, I gave you five guys.
Thank you.
Got five guys worth of damn on this defense, and the rest of hot garbage.
That's what you do?
That's what I would
That's
say.
That's what you do. Did you just say straight dope again?
Straight dope. Okay. Give me the straight dope. This defense sucks. There's a reason why we don't get the quarterback on the ground. There's a reason why we've just been hot garbage for years. We don't draft him well. And then we're like, it's not Terry's fault. Terry tried, okay? He thought Justin Simmons had something left. There's a reason the Broncos said adios. He thought Judon, you know, we were all excited because Judon's got some edges, a little crazy. No, nothing. Two or three games, he popped. The rest was just a lot of crap.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, you guys can hit us up. 404-726-0929.
This is the no BS filter, Mike Bell.
No.
The no glass half empty, Mike Bell, for 2025.
I like the no filter. I just don't believe that you aren't going to be excited when it comes time. That's all. That's a different conversation.
No, you asked me hypothetically about how did the quarterback look. I'll say Penix looked good. Because he's going to look good.
You're excited about Penix. Let's get out of here, O, and clear our throat. Hey, tomorrow, pretty cool guest, and it's cool to think that the Braves season is right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk to the Braves Senior Vice President of Operations, Hannah Bassinger. She is going to join us to talk about the fun and the ballpark and the battery and all the stuff that's coming up this season.
And when you get your bobbleheads.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to that. Also, our man Big Hugh Douglas is going to stop by. Eagles back in the Super Bowl. He does middays up in Philly. You know Hugh. Mm. He's going to stop by to talk about all the things with us tomorrow here on the show. And we're chasing down a couple of other guests as well. Hey, Hawks basketball on the way. Hawks, Rockets, pregame's at 7, tips at 7:30. We'll see. As we mentioned, Trey was questionable, I believe. Is that right? I'm looking at the crew for tonight. No Richesse tonight. All right. Man, one night, one guy, and next night, it's the next. All right, we'll see what happens with the Hawks tonight against the Rockets. We're talking about that tomorrow as well. Make sure you're here at 2 o'clock. That's when the show starts. Don't be late. Right. Hey, Turtle, great job as always, executive producing. All right, Mike, let's get out of the way. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we're still waiting to see if Miggy is going to come back to the A. Still a lot of stories saying it's almost done, but there's nothing to confirm. We do have a story from Tom Bogert, who says sources telling him Atlanta United submit a bid around $18 million for Benfica forward Arthur Cabral. Talks are ongoing. He's 26, 17 goals. He's been playing for Benfica. That's in the Portuguese league, by the way, Carl. And a deal for Emmanuel Latelat isn't dead, but since it sounds like that's cool and they're looking at other dudes. This is a dude from Portugal.
A dude.
And it wouldn't cost that much because the Portuguese league ain't as good as the English Premier League or the Spanish league. But it's a good league.
It's a good league. That's a good league. Pay your electricity bill, man. Today, town center at Cobb got its lights turned off. And I'm not making this up. The Kennesaw Mall was closed and its electricity turned off by Georgia Power, which said the owner was highly delinquent on the bills despite a grace period. It's a mall. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously? Power company said in a statement, tried to work with them. They didn't do the job. So, power's off at Town Center Cobb, and it probably won't be turned back on. Mm. Pay your light bill, man. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
Damn, son, your mall's over 90 days, too.